It is good indeed to be here with you this morning. Appreciate your presence. Appreciate some that are visiting with us and those that join us online. We certainly are glad that you're able to do that. I am thankful that we have the opportunity to put our lessons online because we do have some that are unable to attend services that are able to worship with us in that way. And it's a wonderful thing for them. We appreciate that you join us so regularly as we do that. I want to begin by saying Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. And if you're not, you had one, may still have. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be a father. Some of us maybe can remember when our kids were little and they would holler, "Dad!" And that brings some fond memories to our minds. And maybe you were one of those that hollered that. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to be a father, and it is an awesome responsibility. One of the things about being married, as long as I've been married, is that you begin to settle in with some things, and you accept certain things as being your job to do and certain things as her job to do, and maybe you never even said these things out loud, and maybe you never agreed that I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. But I had a wise man one time told me before I got married, he said, "Robert, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. Don't ever begin doing something you don't want to keep up. Because if you ever start, you won't be able to quit." And there's a lot of truth to that. And there are some things that we do that's just my job to do them, and nobody's ever said anything, but it's my job. And as I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about one of those things that is my job is to make sure that there's toilet paper on the holder in the bathroom. Now, that's important. It is. And I can assure you that when I'm dead and gone and Diane's still here, if you ever go to visit her and you go in her bathroom, there won't be any toilet paper on the holder. It'll be sitting up on top of the holder, but it won't be on it. Because I don't think she knows how to put it on it. That's my job. And so as I walked into the bathroom, I thought about, I was thinking about what can I preach about. So I thought what I'd do is talk about fathers and toilet paper. And I think that there may be some lessons here that you hadn't really ever thought about. Because when you think about toilet paper, one of the first things you think about is it's got to be strong and it's got to be tough. And if it's not, you got a problem. That's just the nature of toilet paper. But at the same time, you want it to be soft and you want it to be gentle. So you got to have something that's strong and tough, and at the same time something that is soft and something that is gentle. And it better be there when you need it. That's just something that, you don't want to run out. It's got to be there. That's one of those things that you may not be able to buy anything else, but you make sure you get that. But in the overall scheme of things, it serves one of the most lowliest things that there is in life, and it really just exists for the good of people to use it. And so when you think about toilet paper, these are just some of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about it. And then I began thinking about fathers, and I thought, fathers need to be strong and they need to be tough. And a part of being a good father is being strong. And part of being a good father is being tough. But you also need to know how to be soft and to be gentle. And part of being a really good father means that you know how to be soft at times and you know how to be gentle. And a good father is going to be there when they're needed and they're not going to run out on the family. They're going to always be there when the family needs them. And while the father is the head of the family as God has designed it, a good father leads by serving, and oftentimes in serving in some of the lowliest possible ways. And so as we think about fathers being strong and fathers being tough, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning there in verse 9, he says, "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Unfortunately, we live in an age today when too many people have not had earthly fathers to discipline them, or they have had earthly fathers who did not discipline them. And discipline may mean anything from a good, hard, solid whipping to just simply talking, teaching, training, showing, helping. But he says that we respected them because of it. And I've heard so many people talk about when they were young and how tough their father was, but how much they respected their father. And I'll tell you about my daddy. When my daddy gave me that look that he gave me sometimes, I knew what that look meant. And it affected me just as much as if he had picked up a stick and hit me across the head with it. Because I knew that if I didn't straighten up from whatever it was I was doing that I wasn't supposed to be doing, that when I got home, I wouldn't get hit in the head with a stick, but the other end would. And I respected him for that. And he was tough at times. He goes on, the Hebrew writer says, "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he," talking about God, "disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Fathers, if you want your children to grow up to serve God, you better be showing some discipline to them. Not just punishment. That's not all discipline is. It's training. It's teaching. It's showing. It's helping. And so you need to be showing discipline to them. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he says there that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I am, in one sense, shocked, and in another sense, I am not. How many people there are today whose fathers never provide their physical needs? And yet that is a part of our responsibility. And yes, we have to be tough sometimes to do that. And we have to be strong sometimes to do that. But that is our responsibility. And we need to make sure that we accept the responsibility that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 6, a passage we're all familiar with, it says, beginning of verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you, you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Some translations say in the nurture and the admonition. The word discipline there is much broader than punishment. It's talking about teaching them. It's talking about training them. It's talking about, yes, punishing them when it's needed. But it is the father's responsibility primarily in the home to be the one who teaches our children to love the Lord. It is the primary responsibility of the father to see that our children not only love the Lord but serve the Lord. It is our responsibility to teach them to study the Word of God and to put it into practice in their lives. And it is our responsibility to teach them to respect authority. He says, honor your father and mother. And we must teach our children to respect authority beginning in the home and then in society. And one of the greatest problems we have in our society today is a lack of respect for authority. And unfortunately, there are too many people who are even supposed to be Christians that have no respect for authority whatsoever. But we are to respect the authority in the home. We respect the authority of God. We respect the authority of the government and the civil authorities. We are to show respect for authority, and we are to teach that in the home. But we also must teach our children that they are accountable for their decisions and for their actions. There are consequences that come, and yet too many young people today have been raised in a society that has no consequences seemingly for their actions, or they don't understand that there is, and they don't seem to be held accountable in any way. And what God expects of us as parents is to teach our children that they are accountable for their actions and that they do have to answer for the decisions that they make. God holds us accountable as fathers. And God holds us accountable as parents. And God expects us to hold them accountable that He's given to us and put in our care. So good fathers are strong and tough, but we also need to know how to be soft and gentle. Abraham Lincoln once said we're to be men of steel and velvet. There actually is a book written about that, and the title of it's Men of Steel and Velvet. But that's a quotation from Abraham Lincoln, and I like that quotation. Notice in Colossians 3 and verse 19 through 21, in passage that's very similar to the one we just read in Ephesians, he says, "Husbands, love your wives. Do not be embittered against them." In other words, be soft, be gentle, be loving and caring, nurturing. Verse 21, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart." Don't be so tough on them that you make them want to give up. You know, kids are not perfect. And I think sometimes adults, especially as young parents, sometimes what we do is we anticipate what our kids are going to do because we know what we did, and then we punish them before they even do it. It's not their fault we did what we did. You know, kids are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They do make mistakes. But you know what? Fathers do too. And fathers are not perfect. But as the Hebrew writer says, they do the best they can to do what they believe is right. And so we need to make sure we treat our children with love and care and let them know that we love them and that we care about them. And we don't need to try to relive our life through them. I've seen parents do that, and that's such a terrible mistake. But let them be themselves and be who they are. In Ephesians 5:1, we're told to be imitators of God as beloved children. In 1 John 4:8, we read that God is love. And so if we're going to be imitators of God and God is love, then we need to show our children that we care about them. We need to show them that our top priority is their well-being, and that more than anything else, we want them to grow up to be Christians, be godly men and women, and serve the Lord. And that's got to be our top priority in our raising of our children. We need to show them that this is a top priority for us. So yeah, we have to be strong and tough, and sometimes we have to be gentle and soft. But you know what? We better be there when we're needed and not run out on the family. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because we do most of our teaching by example. I have seen so many kids that were good kids because they had good parents, and I've seen some that turned out pretty bad because they had fathers that were not so good. We need to realize that our example is so powerful. Sociologists have decided after years of research that if you have parents that are abusive, then generally when their children grow up, they are abusive. If you have parents who are addicts or parents who are alcoholics, then when their kids grow up, they generally turn out to be addicts or alcoholics. You have parents who are riddled with crime, and you find children who grow up to be riddled with crime. And the fact is, we are held accountable for how we raise our children. And we need to set the right example for them because they are going to follow our example, more than likely. It has absolutely nothing to do with fathers in this context, but in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy that he is to be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. And I believe that as parents, both husband and wife, both as father and mother, we need to make sure that we set the right example for our children, because we do most of our teaching by example. And one of the things that we need to teach with our example is we need to show them that we really do love the Lord. And if we really love the Lord, they're going to see us studying His Word. And they're going to see us trying to do everything we can to put it into practice in our lives. And if they see that in us, there's a real good probability that they're going to follow that example. But if they don't see that in us, then there's a real good probability they won't do that themselves. We show our children that we live by faith in God and not by sight. One of the ways we do that is not putting our trust in material things or in pleasure or in being selfish. And yet so many parents, everything in their life is about money. It's about things. It's about having fun, or it's about what's good for me, instead of thinking about God and making God the center of our life. We show our children that live by faith in God, so it means we set our priorities in order with God first, always. You remember Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And so we need to put God first. We need to spend time with them. You know, if you don't ever spend time with your kids, you're not going to teach them very much. And just providing a living and making sure you pay all the bills is not being a good father. We need to spend time with them. It may come in a lot of different ways. It may be in sporting events, it may be in camping or hiking or fishing or hunting, or it may be something else that they're interested in. I was with a young lady at camp this last week, and she and her grandfather had just completely restored a 1960 Dodge pickup truck. Can you imagine how much time they spent together while they were doing that? And there's so many things that we can do, and it may be, you know, hiking in the woods or walking, or maybe just talking or listening or working or playing or whatever it is. But we use this time to teach them. We use this time to teach them about life and teach them about God and how to live for the world in such a wicked world. And it is in this relaxed atmosphere that we can have so much impact on the lives of our children. And so as fathers, we need to be there when they need us. We show our children that live by faith. When we teach our girls to grow up to be young ladies, and we teach our boys to grow up to be young gentlemen. And I'm not suggesting that we teach them to become sexist in the bad sense of the word. But they do need to know the roles that God has given each of these, both male and female, in His Word, and what He expects out of us. And there are certain things that are specific to the women and certain things that are specific to the men by God. And we need to learn these and recognize these and teach them to our children. Good fathers are strong and tough, but they must also be soft and gentle. Must be there when they're needed and not run out on the family. While they're head of the family, they lead by serving. And often, they do this in the lowliest of ways. Fathers, it may be that the most important way that we serve our family is by being present and being a part of home life. And if we're going to do that, it means that we've got to put down our phone. We've got to make sure that the rest of the family puts their phone down too. And that they get off of the computer. And that they turn off the TV. And that we're all present. Not only physically, but also mentally. We were talking about this at camp this past week, and one of the counselors there said, I literally saw this with my own eyes. He said, I walked in a restaurant and there was a family of four sitting there and they had five devices all going. Not just one each. One of them had two of them going at the same time. We were at Diane's niece's house recently for her sister's birthday, and Jacob went with us over there, and he had gone in where there was a number of young people there, some of them older than him, some about his age, and they had like three couches there, and they were all sitting around in the den, and I walked in there, and every single one of them was on the phone. And I said something to Jacob about being on his phone, and one of them spoke up, and he said, oh, it's not his fault. We were all on the phone when he came in here. Not a word being said. But if we're going to be good parents, we've got to put those things down and we've got to be present physically and we've got to be present mentally and actually have conversation and actually spend time talking and listening to each other. And as a part of that, we need to read and discuss the Word of God together. And as we do this and being present, we can give the family our time and our energy and our wisdom and our teaching, and we show them by example what we believe to be important, and we show them that we love them and that we care about them and we care about their welfare, and we also show them what we want and what we expect from them. And so, fathers and everybody else that's here this morning, we're here to serve others, even as Jesus came to serve and to not be served. And so as a shepherd leads his sheep, we are to lead our family to Jesus Christ and eventually to heaven. So as we think about fathers and toilet paper, good toilet paper, strong and it's tough and it's soft and it's gentle and it's there when you need it and it serves a very lowly place and it just exists for the good of those that use it. And fathers need to be strong, need to be tough, need to know how to be gentle and soft, and be there when they're needed and not run out on the family. And they need to know how to serve in the lowliest of ways. Our first goal in life, and this is all of us, should be to be with the Lord in eternity. And so this morning, if you're here and you're not a child of God, then you don't have the hope of eternal life with God. You don't have the promise of heaven. But we urge you this morning to come to Jesus and confess your faith in Him as the Son of God, to turn away from your sin and repentance and to be baptized in Christ. If you're hearing your subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.